All right, guys, so we are Christian Warfare, Ephesians 6, starting in chapter 6, verse 10. Now, y'all have heard it said that, or and it's said in Scripture, so it's true, that that God always provides us a way out. He always has a door open for us to escape temptation, to withstand the tactics of the devil. And that's what these verses are all about.
Ephesians? Now,
we're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10.
It's going to be towards the back. If you find Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, or Colossians, and you're close there, if you find Galatians, way towards the back.
God eats popcorn.
Oh, I got General Electric Pepsi Cola. That's how I remember it.
Oh, wow.
God eats popcorn.
Galatians, Ephesians.
All right, so let us know. Okay, if you found Colossians, go backwards. General Electric Pepsi Cola. Galatians and then Ephesians.
And there's nothing wrong with looking in the front where it tells you the page number.
Yeah, amen.
That's sure too.
I think I got the tabs.
Awesome.
That's right, table of contents works too.
Yeah, that's it. So this is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church, in Ephesus. I guess is the way you would say that.
Ephesus. You gonna be in family relationship or armor of God?
Armor of God.
Seriously?
So we do know from Romans 3:23 tells us that we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God, right? So we all mess up, except one man that was perfect to walk this earth. Named Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right?
But if God provides us a way out, a way to escape temptation, when we succumb to temptation, whose fault is it?
It's ours.
Does that make sense? That's right. Provides a way out. We don't necessarily take the way out. Now, this can be a lot easier said than done. Now, even the best of us sin every day. So while I don't say that statement to get you caught up in the fact of I'm a sinner and to get ashamed about that, because that's not, you know, there's no shame in Christ. There's nothing but freedom. But the fact is that, like I said, I can't speak for y'all. I can only speak for me. But most of the things that are going on in my life are because I set down the armor of God at some point. So let's read and chat. Starting in verse 10, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you'll be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Amen, right?
Amen.
So, he starts off by be strengthened by the Lord and His vast strength. Okay? Now, that phrase, vast strength, is a phrase that somebody may be describing the ocean, of how vast it is. Have any of you ever been out in the middle of the ocean, like, where you can't see land?
Mm-hmm.
You ever been out that far?
Yeah.
What does it feel like? Well, you ever thought about if what happens if something happens to this boat? No, I never thought about that. I went deep sea fishing a lot. And I never thought about it until we ran across a school of jellyfish. Mm-hmm. And jellyfish that far offshore are not these little bitty ones about like that. I mean, these things are, I mean, you couldn't reach across them. They're so big. I mean, they're a good 6-7 foot across the center of their jelly. And I thought, what happens if I go in this water? Mm. You climb up as high as you could on the boat, and you couldn't see them on the deck because the way the light hits the water. But when you climb up all the way to the top, as far as you could see around the boat, and they come up to the boat, they're attracted to it because of the chum that's thrown out. But as far as you could see, are jellyfish. Mm. And I thought about, you know, how big the ocean is and how small we really are when we're out there in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of the word picture where Paul is talking about the strength of the Lord. There is no end to it, guys. There's absolutely nothing that we can't do. Or he can't do, excuse me. We can't do through his strength. There was, when I was teaching VBS last year, there was a kid asked me, we were talking about this, and he asked me, so, and the kids' questions are always just great. So a kid asked me, so could God make the world blow up by, you know, blowing up an ant? And that was his question. Could he make a little bug blow up and destroy the world? If he wanted to, yes. He can do anything. There is no limitation. Now, there's things he won't do. And we know that through his word. All right? He'll never go against his promise, but he can do anything. There's absolutely no problem that he can't handle.
That's right.
Now, I truly believe every one of us believes that up here. Do you believe that in here?
Come on.
Because if you're not getting to this point, if you're not to the point of belief and you don't believe in the strength of the Lord and his vast strength, then you're not going to put on the full armor of God. Because really, when it gets down to it, your flesh is going to tell you there's no point in it. Your problem's too big. You need to worry about your problem. You don't need to, you know, put on the armor of God. That's what the flesh is going to tell us. But he tells us in verse 11, what does he say? Put on part of the armor of God. Does he say, put on the part of the armor of God that you have time to that day? What does he say in verse 11? Put on the full armor of God. Is anybody in here a why person?
Mm-hmm.
I drove my teachers crazy in school. I mean, everything was why. But why? But why that? And I mean, I'd carry it, you know, to the 10th degree. Well, Paul, I always think Paul was a why person because he's, in most of his scripture, he gives us the why. And he does in this scripture. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the tactics. Some of your versions may say schemes.
Mm-hmm.
I like that version better. It really defines what's going on a little bit better. The schemes of the devil. What's it mean for somebody to scheme?
Devious plans.
Okay.
Plans to harm somebody else or to do something wrong.
Now, are those
sneaky?
Okay, are those plans like real simple or are they very complicated, very thought out typically?
Thought out.
Very methodical in the way that they come at you. The devil is no dummy, guys. We get this picture in our head that he's sitting there with a pitchfork and a pointy tail and that we could see him coming a mile away. You know, and that he's this big evil person, and he is evil, don't get me wrong. But he's sneaky.
Yes, he is.
He's going to look good. It's not going to be, you know, when we see him, it's not going to be this guy holding a pitchfork that you're going to notice that's the devil. That you have to have discernment to be able to see this, that it's going to look so good. You ever heard the phrase silver-tongued devil? You know where that comes from? Comes from Adam and Eve, the snake. That was the devil telling Eve, right? This fruit's good. Told her exactly what she needed to hear, right? Silver tongue. It looks real good, but they're schemes. Then he goes in to tell us who we're fighting. Now in verse 12, he is not giving name after name for the devil. He is naming almost different classes of demons and evil forces, if you will. It says in verse 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so you're able to resist in the evil day. So our battle's not flesh and blood, something that we can see. Listen, I was never brave enough to join the Army, mainly because when my brother went to boot camp, he came back and told me about all the running that they had to do. That was enough to keep me out. All right?
Amen.
But at least these guys, and I really respect our military, so don't take this wrong, but at least they can see what they're fighting. That gives you a hand up right there, right? And you're fighting something that can be killed when you're in the military. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See what we're fighting. This is what Paul is saying, that we're not fighting each other. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting this whole other realm.
Darkness.
This whole other level. It's not on our level. We can't fight it. We can't even see it. Most of the time, we can't even recognize it. But who can? God. God can do it. God can fight it. God can recognize it, and you better bet God can beat it. So Paul tells us, this is why we must take up the full armor of God. There's going to be a fight out there, guys. You know, every time I come out of something, and this is my human pride, I look back, and one thing I do is I thank the Lord. But I'll kind of say in a prideful way, well, now I'm stronger. I won't fall for that one again.
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what the next one is? It's even tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel like that? Every obstacle you face is bigger and badder. Okay? Guys, I hate to tell you this, and this is not discouraged, but there's another battle coming.
Amen.
Okay? Until Christ comes back riding on the clouds, we're going to keep facing these. One after another.
That's right.
And that is not to say something encouraging, because in discouraging. The encouraging part is that we have God on our side, that we are called children of God for those of us who have pronounced His name in faith.
Mm-hmm.
We are children of God. And what does Paul say of children of God? Then we're heirs, co-heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But until that time comes, we have this battle to fight. So he tells us to stand with truth like a belt around your waist. Now, when he starts talking these military terms and he's talking about the soldier, he's got the Roman soldier in mind. All right? So, while the armor and the different pieces of armor are a little bit different than we use today, in this time, they were very relevant. So, but one thing, actually, a lot of these things we still use are just called different names. But do soldiers, anybody in here been in the Army? Huh? Do soldiers wear belts?
Yeah.
Why do you wear a belt?
Carry ammo.
Huh?
Carry ammo and stuff.
It's What's the bigger purpose? Why do we belt belts? Hold our britches up, right? It's an important piece, right? Same thing for the Roman soldier. Now, they fought in something almost like a kilt. And now the belt had another purpose also, and it was to tuck the excess clothing. You know, they had almost like those dresses looking things they would wear, and you could tuck that excess clothing in the belt when you fought. So it's like getting the stuff, the representation of all this stuff, all this extra clothing is all the lies and all the junk that we have going on in our life. Does this society tell us a bunch of lies?
Yes.
Have you ever turned on a TV?
Mm-hmm.
Wear a belt like truth. Know what the truth is. You can get all that junk out of your way. That's what the Roman soldier did. In a normal session, he would have that I always call it a dress. I don't know what, a tunic, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have it kind of free-flowing because it was cool. It was hot where they were. All right, it was cool to wear those. And what happened when he got in battle? If you had a bunch of excess clothing, a bunch of junk running around, and you're in battle and you're trying to fight, what's going to happen?
You're going to get twisted up.
You're going to get twisted up, and you're going to fall down, or you're going to end up losing the battle. Okay, translate that to our spiritual lives. If we have all this junk going on around us, and we're trying to fight, what's going to happen? We're going to trip.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get twisted up. We're going to fall. Stand with truth like a belt around your waist. Righteousness like armor on your chest. Right? The Greek culture, and we talked about this a little bit last week, the Greek culture believed that, you know, your soul was in your heart. That was where your feelings and your emotion and your being came from. What does righteousness come from? Okay? Protects our heart. It protects our soul. It protects our being. Alright? This is almost like a piece of armor that you're given upon faith in Jesus Christ. And while you can't fall from salvation, you can choose not to pick this up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You're a soldier, but you can choose not to put your armor on.
Yeah. To our modern day soldier, all right, I like to use Special Forces as examples. They got all the coolest toys, right? You know what, every, like Delta, for example, theirs are dressed a little bit different. If you've seen Delta, they have the army camos on. They always have a black vest over it. Now, this is just a different color. It signifies them from the other troops, but all Special Forces wear bulletproof vests. Why?
To keep them safe from the bullets.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah. That's what Jesus does for us. He keeps us safe. Remember who you belong to. Pick up that breastplate. Remember who we belong to.
And if we forget to, if a soldier forgets to put on one of the helmet, let's just say, that bullet could be fatal. Same with this. You have to remember all of it. And with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
It says put on the whole armor of
God. Every bit of it.
God.
It's all important.
You may be able to stand against the walls of the devil, because if you just forget one and you think you're so good, and you know, boy, I'm very guilty. I'm not putting on the whole armor right now. Like, there's a couple things that I'm really lacking. No wonder the enemy's gotten in.
Mm.
Amen.
You know, the next one he tells us is feet steadied with readiness for the gospel, sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace.
Shod.
Yours may be shod, okay? Now, the idea of shod is like a horse. The shoes are shod on, meaning they're nailed on. A horse can't take its shoes off.
That's right.
That's the idea of shod here. That's why many of the virgins say your feet are shod with the gospel of readiness, or gospel of peace. The idea of this, all right? And my Bible's on the ground if you can't see it. The idea is that as Christians, everything we stand on, the gospel, is everything. It's our footing. It's everything that we stand on. Alright? The whole Bible, the whole Old Testament, what does the Old Testament do? All that prophecy, what does it point back to? Or
Jesus.
Forward to, actually?
Coming to Christ.
To Jesus, to the New Testament, to Christ. It all points back to Him. Now, what this relates to the soldier in Rome, or in the old times, all right, these, if you've ever been over to Jerusalem or Israel, other than the land that's been cultivated, the natural land, it's almost kind of a barren, like desert kind of land, but it's not like our desert where it's real sandy and you could probably get a decent footing. You know, if you buried your feet in the sand, you could stand, you know. Their ground was really, really hard. And it was covered with almost pebbles about like that. So it's almost like walking on marbles. How are you going to fight if you're standing on marbles? So what the Roman soldier would do is he would take the sandals and they would take pieces of metal and broken pieces of jars and just anything sharp that they could find, and they would drive it through the sandals. They didn't have a footlocker back then, okay? They couldn't just go pick up a pair of cleats at the store, you know. So they would make cleats. So the idea is not running forward with the gospel to attack the devil, although the Bible does give us that picture in other places. But it says stand, make your stance. So the gospel is where we get our feet stance, ready for attack.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yes.
We're standing firm. The Greek word for stand, the whole word picture here is not attacking, even when we get to the sword. The last one.
Mm-hmm.
The whole word picture is here is you're standing ready for attack. You don't know which way it's coming from. But you're firing, you're looking all directions, you're ready for attack. You got your armor on. Make sure we carry the gospel. That's everything that we stand on. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Have y'all seen Robin Hood, the newer version with Russell Crowe? Here's a great, great word picture of this. Have y'all seen any old, like, Braveheart type movies? You know, you get what I'm saying? There were two different kinds of shields, and you've probably seen them both if you've seen any one of these movies. There was the shield that one carries on his forearm. Maybe, you know, about yay big around. Could actually be used as a weapon. Could block stuff. Then there was the big shield that stood up. It was kind of curved at an angle.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen a riot shield that police carry nowadays?
Yeah.
All right. This is the idea. This is the shield he's talking about. This is not the little bitty shield. This is the full body shield. And if you've ever seen any of those movies, they would have guys lined up with these shields at the front. And those arrows would come shooting from the castle. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. The movie 300 has a good scene in this on the beach where all those arrows are flying over. And all the soldiers duck down. Even the ones that aren't carrying the shield get down up under those. And it covers all the whole army. Everything, you know, all the flaming arrows hit the shields and bounce off. This is the idea, except for the fact that if you're not carrying one, you can't duck behind somebody else's. You got to carry one for yourself.
Good.
This is what faith is. Right? Faith does not mean attacks are not going to come your way. Faith means when attacks do come your way, they're going to bounce off. Okay? And just like that shield, every time an arrow hits it, you get a little chink in your armor. You know what I mean? If you take a bulletproof vest and you take a gun, you shoot it, it's going to have a big indention right there. Alright? So, the word picture is not that these arrows are not going to come. Not that, you know, you may get a little chink every now and then, oh, that kind of hurt. But you're going to be able to extinguish them. It's not the idea that you're standing in the middle of the battlefield like this going, shoot me. And look, that may sound funny to some of us and sound comical for a soldier to do that, but that's what we do as Christians all the time. Is that we go stand in the middle of that battlefield with no armor whatsoever, with a big target on us.
Yep.
Devil's going to attack everybody. He's going to attack the ones, you know, for the guy that's sitting over there with no armor, how many arrows do I got to shoot at him versus the one that's all armored up?
That's a good point.
So that guy, boom, one arrow, he's down. Okay, let me focus on this guy, okay? So the devil's going to attack all of us, okay? When you got that armor, he's probably going to attack you more. But without it, one arrow kills you. We have to have faith, guys. You know, one of the things that a soldier in those times, one of the things that they would never go without, and even in today's time, is their helmet. We talked about Delta Force. Have you ever seen, and I'm sorry I'm a movie buff, but if you've ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, this is a good picture of that. Delta was the ones with those black vests and the black helmets. Why do they wear a helmet? All infantry wears helmets. Why?
To protect their heads.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if you get hit in the head?
Brain damage.
Right?
Yeah, that speaks right there. You know, brain damage. If we're not protecting our minds,
now
when we get hit with something, that makes us really confused. We can't function.
And we're weak. Now, I believe this is one of those pieces of armor that you're given, and it kind of stays there. And what I mean by that is once you're saved, you're always saved. All right? Now, a lot of people preach this verse a lot of different ways. So here's the bigger point, all right? No matter which way you believe, so you have to pick up that helmet to begin with. between you and God, you know if you're saved or not. Alright? Now, young one, you may want to have talk with daddy about this later, or granddad later. You know, you may not understand it, and that's fine. At your age, how old are you?
10. I just turned 10.
Okay, so you're capable to understand, but if you don't, that's fine. Happy birthday. When did you just turn 10?
Friday.
Guess when my birthday was?
What?
Friday. I'm not kidding.
How about that?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That's awesome.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. But the point is, guys, whether you believe you can pick this one up or put it down, the fact is that you have to pick it up to begin with to have it. Jesus Christ is the only way we get saved. Don't sit here and try to fool yourself into salvation. Alright? One day you're going to stand before God, and it may not go exactly like this, but it's going to be something to the effect of, why should I let you into heaven? And just like it says in Matthew 7, there's going to be a lot of us churchgoers that are going to go say, hey, Jesus, while we're waiting in line. You know? And he's going to look back and he's going to shake his head and go, I never knew you. At that moment, I think reality's really going to set in for a lot of us. Probably before that moment, but you get my point. You're not going to be able to talk your way into this. All right, you're not going to be able to fool your way into this. Is that we have to have that helmet of salvation. All right, have to. The last piece he talks about is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's Word. You notice all the other pieces of armor that is kind of up for translation? He gets to this one and he spells it out pretty clearly. In Vietnam, there was, I'm looking at me mentioning another movie. I've never seen this one, but you've ever heard of the movie Hamburger Hill? Okay, it's based on a true story. And all these guys had for cover was basically the holes that the armor artillery had blown in the ground. And it was so confusing, it was getting so dark, and it was getting so chaotic that they were losing their canteens and maybe even losing their helmets and this and that. One of the guys that was behind making the movie that was actually there, and he stated in one of the interviews, he said every one of us had white knuckle grip on our rifle. We may actually let that helmet roll down the hill accidentally. Our canteen may get kicked by somebody in the chaos. But every single person had that gun. They were white knuckled, and they were not letting that thing go. All these weapons are all these pieces of armor are defensive. Now remember, the word pictures here is that we're taking a stand. But don't you want to have a weapon when you take your stand? Y'all know when the Battle of the Alamo happened, that it actually started out in the fields. And the Alamo was our fallback. Guess where we had all our guns and all our stuff? That may be a bad example because we kind of got beat that day. But the point is that that's our fallback. That's our, that's it's our only weapon. So I ask you this, and this is between you and God too, nothing to do with me. Do you read the Word of God daily? And while I'm not downplaying devotions and I'm not talking bad about devotion books, I'm talking more than just picking up a 5-minute devotion and heading out the door. I mean, read the Word of God. Any day that you choose not to do this, you're choosing to go in your battle, maybe with your breastplate, maybe with your helmet, maybe when you got your shoes and your belt on, but you're choosing to go out there without your weapon. And go back to the special forces analogy. When my brother was in boot camp, one thing they make them do is they make them sleep with a rifle. Their shoes are off under the bed. Their helmets under the bed. They probably only got underwear and a shirt on. They got that rifle. In the middle of the night, the drill sergeant will come through and try to take it from you. So when you're dead in your sleep, you got to protect your rifle. Why do they do this?
You don't have a weapon.
It's part of training. And you're both right. Weapon. It's weapons training. It's getting the training, get it in your head where it's second thought that gun never leaves your side when you're on the battlefield. When these forward operating bases, which when we go over to a place like Iraq, we'll take over airport for our main base, and then we'll have these, what they call forward operating bases. When they go to the shower, I'm not going to tell you what they put on the end of the guns because there's little ones here, but they put protective product on the end of the gun, and they take the gun in the shower with them. How important it is. Because if an attack comes, the evil one's not going to go, "You're in the shower? I'm sorry. I'll come back."
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to blush and turn around and walk off. We have to have it with us all the time. And this is the word picture of memorizing scripture.
That's right.
Okay, I used to be so against memorizing scripture because I thought it was nothing but legalism, and in a lot of places it is. But for one, God himself tells us to do it. But if there's a day that, for whatever reason, this sitting in my hand, and as it does all the time, this thing quit working, and I can't get to a copy of Scripture, how am I going to quote it? How am I going to know it? Mm-hmm. How am I going to be able to do anything with it if I don't have at least some of it memorized? You can lose a book. Batteries die on these all the time. Once you got something memorized, it's there forever. And even when we get old and forget things, I was watching a video on Facebook the other day of an Alzheimer's patient. Could not remember anything. Her daughter, who lived with her until she was like 30 years, the daughter was 30 years old before she moved out of the house. The kid lived there forever. She didn't even remember her daughter. And guess what she remembered? She'd quote scripture like that. I mean, she'd just spout it off. Somebody asked her what she wants for lunch. She'd just quote a scripture. About all she knew. It's kind of funny, but I mean, it's, you know, it goes, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes. It's the last thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
Have to have the Word of God. So I ask you again, I don't think God wanted this preached for accident. Take a look at what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sit here and get you to go, "Is this my fault?" That's the devil's game, okay? Don't listen to that. But we do need to have lessons learned. And we need to go going forward. Guess when my life goes down in valleys, I can look back every time, almost on my calendar, because I write the date on every devotion. Every valley I go through, guess what happens in my devotion book? It's like it coincides. Stop having devotions in my book, a couple days later, I go down in the valley. Mm-hmm. Or maybe my prayer life is affected. Mm-hmm. It is not as good as it's supposed to be. I can go back and look in my prayer book. I look at the dates. I can say, "Well, here's where I hit a low spot. What happened here? What was I praying about?" "Oh, I wasn't praying." Once again, I'm speaking of my life, and I'm not saying that everything that bad happens in our life is because we don't put on the armor of God. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But I can say that most of the things that we struggle with, there's a way out for us. Most. Now, just like any good football coach, he's going to put his football team through heck and he's going to run them into the ground. Why? Makes them stronger, right? So God is going to put us through stuff to teach us. All right? So that's part of maturity is discerning the difference. All right? But we have to play our part. Remember, this is not a war that we have to fight. This is a war that we get to fight. One day we're going to be up there riding on these pure white horses with a flaming sword in our hand, chunking them at the devil. It's going to be a little bit different battle on that day. But as of right now, we can't see him. He is a lot stronger than us, whether we want to admit it or not. We can't do this on our own. We should want God's help, and we need God's help.
Amen.
Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, Father. We thank you for your armor that you teach us to put on. Father, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray for Joe and Cara. We know their hearts are hurting, Father. We just ask that you shower them with love. Show us what you want us to do for them, Father. Lord, I pray for Ronnie and Penny. Lord, I thank you for both of them so much and what they do for your kingdom and what they've done in my life. Father, I just ask that you continue to bless them, both spiritually and physically. Father, we praise you. Not even worthy to be in your presence, Lord, but we thank you so much that you sent your son to die from our mistakes so we could talk to you, so we could be with you. Father, we praise you for that. Lord, we love you. We pray in your name, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good work, brother.